Hi, everybody out there. This is Brian from New Jersey Revolution Radio. Thanks for joining us on a irregular and unannounced recording of What the Fuck with Pat and Brian. I'm here with my comrade, Pat Noble, Socialist Party, Red Bank School Board member. Of course, not representing as a Red Bank School Board member. We always have to, say your legal disclaimer for the
Well, you've done it for me. So there you go.
Not representing, but is happens to be. Right. A member of the Red Bank School Board and as well, just a comrade of New Jersey Revolution Radio. So thanks for being here, Pat. How are you today, man?
I'm all right. How are you? Well, Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. Also belated, which I recently found out.
I turned 43 years old on the same day as our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's neat. You know, I mean, I've always liked being born on Christmas. People ask me if I get ripped off for presents or whatever, but I really don't. My family's good, man. I mean, you know, they love me, and I'm really blessed to have a wonderful family. And I know not everybody has that, but it's one of my privileges in life. And I take advantage of it where I can. And so for those of you out there, I hope you did get a chance, enjoy your Christmas with whoever you had around. Mine was good. I was good. How was yours?
Mine was good. And if I can just mention, if anyone wants to get Brian a belated birthday present, they can make a donation to New Jersey Revolution Radio.
That is true.
Yeah.
They can do that. And you know, I really should put up the link, and I will just a minute in the chat here. But I did put together a little GoFundMe fundraiser. We still have 3 days to make Diane Moxley work. If you listen to New Jersey Revolution Radio on the live, on the regular, we came in for our last show before Christmas, and, you know, it's like 2 weeks off. And honestly, I miss doing the show for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, I like doing the show. It's fun to look around the state, watch social media, and see what my comrades are doing and help get them a little more exposure through this network. But, you know, it's New Year's Day, too, and I'm not going to make anybody work. But Diane said if we raise $500 by New Year's, that she would come in and do a show with
me. On New Year's?
On New Year's Day.
Okay.
On New Year's Day, 8 p.m., regular time. Okay. It would be a fun show. I've already got some concepts and ideas for the show.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some audience participation. New Year's Day for most people is like a chill day, man. You still hung over for most of the day, and at night the hangover has lifted, hopefully.
Hopefully.
And you're just chilling at home, getting ready to, you know, start the new year. And I was thinking maybe we could do a show like Out with the Old, In with the New, or talk about goals for 2020 as far as activism goes. So I got a concept here. And I got a willing participant. My partner, Diane Moxley, is willing to come in and do the work. But we need our audience at New Jersey Revolution Radio to do their part. I'm going to pull up this GoFundMe, but, you know, I'll put it in the comments. But you all can see. You can all look back on the page and whatever and chip a few dollars in. It would help us out tremendously. But so let's stop talking about getting money. We love the support. We have been getting support, so thank you that you have. And let's talk about something. I don't know. For me, was not shocking. It wasn't shocking. But for a lot of people, it's a big news.
It is.
For New Jersey. What's going on, Pat?
So what I think you're referring to is Larry Hamm, who's the chairman of the People's Organization for Progress, announced, I believe, last week that he is running in the Democratic primary for Senate next year's U.S. Senate election in New Jersey, which right now Cory Booker hasn't said if he's running for yet because he's running for president, whatever that means in his case, but presumably Larry Hamm will be running against Cory Booker in next year's primary.
This is a big deal, I guess, basically for the reasons I think Larry Hamm could win. Like, almost to the point where I think he probably will win.
Well, I mean, if Bernie's doing well at that point, because it sounds like they might be bracketed on the same ballot column or something like that.
Yeah.
But if Bernie's still rocking by then, you know, keep in mind that New Jersey's primary is one of the latest in the first Tuesday in June. So if Bernie's still going by then, you know, he might actually get a significant showing in the primary, regardless of whether Booker ends up running or not.
It's, you know, I shy away. And this is really the only program on New Jersey Revolution Radio where we talk about Democratic Party politics. You know, we stick to away from it, but this is an intersection and a weird personal intersection for me and a lot of activists who look up to Larry and who know since Bernie came on the scene, since 2016, Larry's been getting more involved with the Democratic Party. And sorry, I haven't talked to you yet, Larry, you know, but Larry's a big boy. You know, he's busy. He's too busy to talk to me anyway, but, you know, I think that it's just, it's put a lot of people in a weird place, because there's those of us like myself who tend not to agree with people that play the inside game and just kind of just don't do it that much. But I also, and I criticize it, but I try not to be overly critical. If people want to work inside the Democratic Party, do your thing. And it's kind of especially effect, you know, when I talk about Larry, he took me in, man. Like, as I was learning activism and I went to Newark, I don't know how I wound up there, to be honest. It's a long story, really. I mean, got involved through, you know, 15 now or whatever. But really, Larry and the People's Organization for Progress took me in. And when I went to the meetings, really educated me and taught me activism. That group is an older group. There's a mix of people there, mm-hmm. but generally kind of an older activist group from Newark. People that lived through the rebellion, people that ate dinner with Malcolm X, people that have been to Cuba, that on, you know, that have met with government officials in communist countries and socialist countries and been involved in real work. I mean, stuff prior to me having, you know, real kind of like work experience in activist world, you know, taught me a lot and guided me along. So I kind of stuck on that path. I've tried to stick away from the electoral ring over the last few years. I've guided myself more into this media realm and grassroots organizing. But for those, you know, but, you know, this is on the electoral side. Mm-hmm. It's a weird thing. It's just a weird thing for me to see Larry running as a Democrat.
I mean, he might benefit from a lot of people. If you remember 4 years ago when Bernie was running against Hillary, you had that big contingent of people that, you know, registered Democrat for the day pretty much so they could vote for Bernie. Then they jumped back out. So people are presumably doing that again. And they're already registered, and they're already in the voting booth, and they're already voting for Bernie in the primary. And one spot down, presumably, is Larry. So he might actually do well in the primary. A lot of it, of course, depends on who else. If Booker doesn't run for whatever reason, who else is in there? I mean, in fairness, I don't know. They really don't have any progressive Democrats nominally or otherwise on their bench. So even if they do run someone, it's going to be someone god-awful like Frank Pallone, Josh Gottheimer, something like that. So there's not going to be a progressive Democrat running in any case.
Well, I can't imagine somebody else jumping into the race at this point.
I mean, in the event that Booker doesn't run for some reason, which is very unlikely, but in theory, if Booker doesn't run someone, it's going to be someone. Then the Democrats have to Frank Sloan, go Gottheimer, find some candidate like that. So there's not.
What? Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if Booker's not the guy, the Democrats are going to go out and find their, you know, anointed candidate.
I said it didn't shock me, right? When I got the news, somebody called me, comrade. Called me and said, you know, this is what's going on. And I wasn't shy. Honestly, my opinion was, yeah, I see that. Because he's been getting around the state, building a network. I mean, he's been doing it for years. And I'm not saying, you know, he did it just to run. I don't think that's the case. No. But I could see, like, definitely over the last couple of years, like, this shift towards an electoral style strategy. He's passed up on offices to run before because he didn't want to. And the rumors were he didn't want to challenge incumbent Democrats. You know, he's been, you know, more involved, I guess, with the establishment side of things over the last couple of years. But he's always had a statewide effort. People's Organization Progress has been around since 1980 something.
Yeah.
You know, and Larry, of course, held a school board position 45 years ago at 17 years old. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty impressive. Yeah. And the story behind that is documented. There's a PR article out in Insider New Jersey. Well, I guess not PR. It's written by Max Pizarro of Insider New Jersey. So I don't know that it's a PR. It's a nice article about Larry. Gives his background, you know, talks about how Larry lost his father. So it's one of these life story articles and it's worth reading. And I'm not, you know, I won't endorse Larry because he's running as a Democrat. I can't. I won't. Larry knows that. Sorry. I wish I had talked to Larry. Larry, he just came over before we did this live. Larry's watching this. Larry, probably not going to watch this. He's busy as shit. But if somebody's talking to Larry about this.
If in the 7 degrees of separation, it gets back to him.
Yeah, whatever. When the rumor mill gets there, I'll have stated that Larry has an octopus arm sticking out of his head.
In a way, it might be good for the activist community in general in New Jersey, because I know you and I fall on the independents from Democrats end of things. You know, but there are a lot of activists in New Jersey that aren't happy with the Democratic Party. They aren't happy with, you know, Sweeney, Norcross, Murphy, take your pick. But this might sort of, you know, they're happy about Bernie, though, and that this might sort of nudge them back in the direction of the Democrats. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to the activist community in general, which hasn't really answered whether it wants to be independent from the Democrats, actually independent, or independent, we don't like them, but if it's Murphy or Bernie or some other progressive, then we can roll with it.
He ran as an independent for assembly prior to this, too, I believe.
Okay.
So he's run for, yeah, and okay. I think that was in this, this article that we're reading. So,
but you know what I mean. This sort of goes into the beginning of the Festivus.
You know,
but really part of this is
that the poll. I'm sorry. We did this like last minute, guys. You know.
That can be the poll right there. I don't know if they can.
There we go. This is the poll.
That's the poll. But there's a lot of activists in New Jersey, and there's a lot of organizations in New Jersey that, you know, pretend to be progressive, left wing, whatever. But, you know, when it comes time to campaign for the Democrats, they disappear or become greatly reduced because they're not doing that. So
here's my next question. Okay. This is the fun question. How do you think Cory Booker reacted when he heard? Cory's a smart dude and he's got a network, so I'm sure he felt it coming too. Because if it didn't surprise me, he might. I don't know if he heard something. You know, usually you get an idea that somebody's going to run against you, and if you got your ear to the ground right, it won't be a shocker, right?
Pretty sure right now he's busy trying to get into the next debate, even though the criteria is higher now. He didn't make it into the last debate because he couldn't get that high in the polls.
So that leads to a whole question about his strategy. Now, what is he going to do? Because he can do both, right? They passed a law, just the Cory Booker law.
They did.
Phil Murphy. Leader Murphy.
Yeah, Phil Murphy hooked him up because prior to that, you can only run for one of the two offices. So in theory, if he was on the ticket, he couldn't run for Senate.
Yep.
So they changed that. So now he can, in theory, run for both. If he's on the presidential ticket, he can also run for Senate. Oddly enough, I looked it up. Joe Biden did the same thing.
Changed the law so he could.
No, not the change of the law part, but but in 2008, he ran for re-election to the Senate in Delaware at the same time that he ran for vice president.
Yeah.
So in theory, it's possible. It'd be kind of weird. And
You know how we accuse dictators in South America of kind of changing laws so they can run for office more times, and how that makes it not a legitimate democracy.
And it's a party mechanism, so
it's different. It's different.
Because if he gets elected, presumably he resigns from the Senate to go be whatever. And then the party bosses get to pick the next person to be the interim senator, and I'm sure that would be.
So you're Cory Booker. You're Cory Booker, and you're sitting in a room. You got your billions of dollars of corporate money in the bank still. I know he said he's not accepting them anymore, but he's still got it like in the bank, right? He's probably accepting them again now.
Maybe he should start again. You know, just looking at what his fundraising's like right now.
Well, they all went back. I mean, Buttigieg, they all said, "Oh, we're not going to take corporate money," and then somebody's like, "Here's some corporate money." They're like, "Oh yeah, sure." Like they did, or
get into the wine cave.
Exactly. But all right, so you're sitting around with your advisors and your media team and all these strategists, and you've got what are your options here? So you're going to stay in this presidential race and try to do one, both.
Yeah,
you could drop out of one or the other. Your presidential campaign is failing, and you just got a serious challenger, a serious primary challenger. And if Cory Booker's team ain't taking Larry seriously, they're going to be fucked up because he's going to win. So why is he not? Honestly, I'm Cory Booker. I get that phone call or I see that news article that says Larry Ham's running against me. It doesn't take me but 3 seconds to say I'm dropping out of this presidential race and running against him.
I don't think so, because in New Jersey, primary voters do not vote against the party line. You know, so they'll have the so-and-so county organizing committee, and they'll have their slate of candidates on the ballot. If you're a primary voter, and granted, like I said before, it might be a little bit different in 2020 with the presidential primary and Bernie supporters and what have you. But generally speaking, primary voters are loyal to the party apparatus in New Jersey, and they're not going to vote against their county party's pre-chosen candidate.
We're a right-leaning state.
Which obviously would be Cory Booker. The county parties aren't going to go choose someone else if the incumbent's running.
We're a right wing leading state and a racist dumb state.
But our right wings are Democrats. So that's the We don't have Republicans in the state. We have Democrats.
For those of you not watching from the great nation of New Jersey, the political diet. So, and this is honestly for any given state. You know, you have to interpret, and I think we get these confused sometimes. We're getting them confused at a local level. We're getting them confused at a state level. But the political dynamics of the federal government are not the political dynamics of state government.
No.
You know, and it's just because, you know, the federal government is now run by fascist Republicans who are out of their minds and right-wing Democrats who are corporatized. Doesn't necessarily mean it's that way. We have fascist Democrats right here in New Jersey and moderate Republicans. I mean, it's... Mm-hmm. There, it's more regional, it's more town to town because of the way we're so segregated and redlined and all that mess. But, you know, the political dynamics are just different, you know, here in the state. But getting, you know, just getting back to this before we move on to a friend of Cory Booker's, good friend of Cory Booker's, Mr. Norcross. You know, I just really since this busted out, Cory Booker has been so brave as to not say anything yet. So I'm just wondering when are we, you know, and this is another thing about Cory Booker, who, by the way, again, for those of you outside New Jersey, nobody in New Jersey likes Cory Booker. No. I've met very few people that like the guy, admire him or anything. We all think he's a hack. We all think he's a hack.
I think I'll be honest. And
nobody's paying attention.
Maybe we should go out on the street with camera and try this. I think more people like Chris Christie than they like Cory Booker.
I would say you're right. I would absolutely say you're right. And most of the, and I, it's just because we saw him come out of the Manhattan Institute and lobby for charter schools and get corrupt in Newark with the water system and then just pop off and become a senator all of a sudden because there was just a gap there.
Yeah.
And we saw this, and you really got to see his career and watch it. Because the whole time he's had a fantastic PR team and all this, the Twitter feed, he's rescuing cats, he's shoveling snow, he's a fireman.
His lighting house is on fire.
His lighting house is on fire. He's getting threatened by T-Bone. I mean, it's all kinds of crazy shit that goes on to this narcissist fantasy, and it's being fed by millions of dollars, and he thinks he can become president. He doesn't belong there, and he never belonged there, and that's the thing. And the nation doesn't see that. The nation hears the crafted story of hero man Cory Booker rising above the struggle and stuff. It's nonsense.
He's become a senator from New Jersey.
And now he wants to be president.
Yeah.
And he's unqualified and he's a doofus. He's probably not a very smart guy. I don't think I've ever met him before. And I met his staff. Sat on his staff. Anyway.
But in any case, you know, he'll probably drop out after the Iowa caucus and
then it's on to take on Larry Hammond. You got to run around the state trying to talk bad about Larry Hammond.
Yeah. I mean, the odds of him not being on the presidential ticket are very good, but the odds of him not running.
You know what? Corey's going to be a case. You know, Corey wins, he's going to be a senator, and I think he's got a good shot at winning. I'm not going to make any kind of call. And I don't care, so I'm really not. You know, it is what it is. It's off to Washington with, you know, and you know, I wish whoever wins luck, but. You know, Corey's, he wins, he's a senator, and he loses, he'll be a K Street lobbyist at $25 million a year. You know, so I'm not really going to feel bad for Cory Booker as he takes on Larry Hammond.
But it will be nice to see how the Democrats respond to it. Just, you know, if you look at all the, you know, right-wing Democrats they elected in the midterms, Jeff Andrew, Mikey Sherrill. Jeff Andrew's a Republican now, excuse me. Yeah, he used to be a nominally a Democrat. Now he's actually a Republican. But if you see it, all the moderate Republicans that they flip seats on, and now they have a very prominent, very vocal progressive Democrat running in their primary that they're not going to be able to hide and pretend don't exist the way they treated some of the House primaries last year. It'll be really interesting to see the Democrats, you know, sweat a bit, shift in their seat, not sure how to handle this. And I'm sure Cory Booker will be front and center on that.
We've already got our comrades on the Facebook chat here. You know, Larry's a pro-capitalist reformer. Who do you think? You want to guess? You want to guess who would be on our Facebook chat here saying Larry's a pro-capitalist reformer? There he is. NJ Dave. You know, I can't argue with NJ Dave. These are pro-capitalist reform platforms. But Larry also introduced me to socialism and communism quite a bit through the People's Organization for Progress. It's not an explicit democratic black and white group. You know what I'm saying? There's there's radical thought in there. And it helped me in my progression. Let's put it that way. I'm definitely leaning lefter than pop these days, you know, and I'm definitely into more, I guess, more anti-capitalist thought than maybe the average there. But I'm not going to sit here and say that pop is a, you know, maybe Larry's gone that way. Maybe Larry can be viewed. And certainly if you're in line with Bernie Sanders and the Democratic Party, Larry knows that criticism is going to come and he's going to deal with it. And he'll be fine. But as far as like the organization he's been with, there's good communists in the People's Organization for Progress. I met him and I talked to him, you know, and I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to not deny it just because I hate the Democratic Party. I'd be being a dick for radio. And there's only five people watching right now. So I'm not gonna do that. We get 50 people on a live stream, maybe I'll start cursing about it. That's not working out.
Well, depends on what you say. I'm here, people might tune in to...
So George Norcross, what kind of trouble is he in lately? Any, or is he in Mar-a-Lago partying? What's up?
Yeah, I don't think he's ever been in trouble in the sense that he should be for all the horrible things he's done. But but the last thing I think everyone saw a couple weeks ago, the sham committee hearing. There was a setup in the state senate. You've got Norcross smiling in the front row, but the thing we were looking at. Just came out a day or two, is someone dug up a quote from Donald Trump before he became president. Presumably he was still, building or, setting up his goofy ass casinos in Atlantic City. But they've got a quote of Trump saying about Norcross, and I'm paraphrasing, I wish I was as powerful as him.
Yeah, I get it. I can understand. Donald Trump was a peon compared to Norcross before he became president.
Yeah.
I mean, Donald Trump was a sideshow. Norcross is, and you know what? I've told the story, and I apologize for those of you out there. I've told the story on the air before. I'm not sure, but I will. I was in a meeting just a couple, not long ago, 2 years ago. It was on the night Scalia died, and it was. I remember it was Scalia. So it was 3 years, 4 years ago.
Yeah,
something like that. Whatever. Yeah. It was a great day. and I remember going to a poetry reading that night, and it was a wonderful event. And there was tons. It was all North Jersey, all activists in the room. And I did, it was an open mic night. And I got up to celebrate the death of Scalia. My little party hat on and my little noisemaker. It was a good night.
Yeah.
So I asked this, I do like a little political thing as part of open mics sometimes when it's appropriate. And it was a cool night for it. So I asked how many people knew who George Norcross was. Nobody. Nobody in that room. And there was like 50 people in that room. And they were activists. They were younger activists. Mm-hmm. It was a cool crowd. But, you know, they were kind of, you would think, politically enlightened to the point of where they would get the dynamics of the state.
Yeah.
And even though these were pretty well politically educated kids who I respected a lot and had a lot of insight for me, they had no idea who this dude was. And I'm thinking to myself, and I said, look at him. I go, this is the most powerful guy in our state. Mm-hmm. Bar none. Phil Murphy, Sweeney, ain't got shit on this dude. And his power really came in the fact that nobody knew who he is. And he's starting to get exposed now.
Right.
And this is fun for us that have known who he is for, 10 years. Yeah. This guy's been doing this for a long time.
And it seems like, and I don't know, because like you said, with the holiday, everyone's away for a while. So the news is a little bit sparse. I don't know where Murphy's administration is at with the investigation they were doing, which was trying to be, they're trying to rival with the sham hearing in the Senate where Sweeney's leading it and everyone's appointed by Sweeney and it's an absolute shit show. And, Norcross is sitting in the front row, smiling, having a good time. but like you said, now that Norcross is sort of in the light now, people know the name, they know his brother's in Congress. They sort of know a lot of the shady shit that he's done, all wrapped up in the tax break scheme.
Right.
But I don't know how he, goes back behind the curtain now. Because people are starting to get that, Sweeney's the Senate president, but Sweeney and South Jersey Democrats have someone behind them sort of putting their finger on the scale, telling them what to do, what not to do.
Right. Yeah. So now on the other side of this big tussle in the media in our is his enemy, Sue Altman from Working Families, who got arrested and I hope she's okay. I keep thinking, man, they working family stole $15 an hour minimum wage from us. And then I got arrested like a week before. And I'm like, come on, you gonna steal? You gonna copy me on this too? Really?
Well, it won't be 15. It'll be 20, 24. I don't think something like that.
I don't think that was really the strategy, but you know, my brain sometimes works. And you know, so
I wouldn't go that far. I think their general strategy is to take whatever the radicals have and water it down to the point where they think it's palatable, and then push it, which is exactly what groups like Working Families do.
She did a great job of getting arrested. I'll give her that. It was, you know, and I did, you know, I hope she's okay. I getting arrested sucks. I don't think it was staged to that point. Although I don't know the whole backstory onto what happened. It has been very unclear, and I haven't seen a good media report on exactly, you know, why they even ordered her to be arrested in the first place, and why state troopers have to follow the orders of a douchebag at a table?
Well, they usually do, but I think you're asking if the douchebag is also.
It was one of the assemblymen. It was a Democratic assemblyman, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
Let me look up the article. Give me a moment. We can edit this out.
That's right.
Thanks for hanging around out there. We got great viewership.
We do. How many people we got?
We've had right now. We had about seven, eight watching at any given time. Man, it's been nice.
Seven and a half
for an unannounced, unadvertised program. Yeah. We thank those of you that are sharing. For those of you that are still watching right now. I'm going to sip some coffee. I'm going to pull up a little file. Share more. We're going to talk for about maybe 10 more minutes here. Yeah, about 10 more minutes. And then we're going to move on. This is New Jersey. I can do some plugs. I'll do some plugs. Okay. Get some music. That's the fancy way to do it. Hang on. We got that. I want to thank our – we don't have any sponsors for today, so I just left the sponsorship table out. But my comrade Laurie Endicott Thomas, and of course the coffee house as always.
We'd like to thank anyone that donated during this live stream, because they are.
That's nobody.
Well,
I don't think anybody's donated.
I was trying to encourage them to.
There we go. All right. There it is. See, I figured out the whole headphone set.
You can count it jointly as your birthday present to Brian and your Christmas present to New Jersey Revolution Radio.
January 26th at the Cherry Hill Women's Center of New Jersey Revolution Radio is very proud to sponsor Weed, Women, and Wellness. This is going to happen. As part of kind of, we're getting into weed a little bit at New Jersey Revolution. I knew, and I have had conversations about legalization. It's on the ballot for next year,
2020.
I guess we talk a minute about it. I said we don't talk about it because we talked about it a lot. Weed, Women, and Williams coming up, though. But maybe we should just spend a quick minute during the commercial segment here talking about weed on the ballot next year. Your thoughts, Pat?
So apparently Murphy figured out what, if he was intelligent as governor, would have figured out 2 years ago, which is that if you want to legalize marijuana, you don't try to put it through the state legislature, and you sure as shit don't try to put it through the state legislature in New Jersey. You put it on the ballot at the time, and I don't know if this is true since then, but at the time, the only state that had gone through the legislature was Vermont, I think. Everyone else had gone through a ballot referendum, whatever they call it in their state.
Right.
But they seem to have finally caught up, and Sweeney seems to have figured out he can't stonewall it in the Senate anymore, so they're going to put something on the ballot. I don't know, and correct me if I don't think they've decided on what the ballot language is going to be, which is very important for all of this. You know, because legalization is a very broad thing. So
right.
So we don't know when.
Well, gets kicked to a committee.
What I'm saying is,
gets kicked. Like, he gets to appoint a commission.
That's right. Well, since they were fighting so much or for so long on what bill would be put, you know, in the state legislature, I don't know if there's clarity, and I could be wrong, but I haven't seen any clarity on what is actually going to be the ballot measure.
I have seen it. I've read it. It can't be changed. That's the key. So if you see the actual language, know that there's no negotiating. That's what you're voting on. So that's one little hint. But I'll tell you this. Go to the Weed, Women, and Wellness Seminar. in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, January 26th. I put the link up in the Facebook feed right now. Check it out. Click going and share it out for our comrades there. They're going to be particularly discussing an afternoon of, you know, we're going to have some vendors, CBD vendors, infused chocolates and oils with CBD, a fruit CBD infused wine, and a mini massage chair from a certified therapist. So Weed Women and Wellness, of course, discussing women's health issues at the Cherry Hill Wellness Center. But look, they're going to be talking politics, and there's more to come from New Jersey Revolution Radio on that. I got all kinds of thoughts on what's going on with the legalization of cannabis in this state. Well, I'm going to hold on to it for another show and another time while we move on here to wrap up What the Fuck with Pat and Brian. Before we move on, this is our last show of the decade. So before we move on to go on, what else do we have? We have Norcross.
No, right. We just did Norcross.
We had Mr. Larry Hamm.
We talked about Larry Hamm.
Larry Hamm.
Senate primary.
I asked for money.
We asked for money multiple times.
Yep. What else do we have before we end this new year, man?
Well, before the new year ends, I understand tonight you have an event going on.
Do I?
Maybe do you.
Oh, are you there? I thought we had another topic. We don't have one last topic. Oh. You got nothing?
I was trying to plug your event tonight.
I've been talking for 32 minutes. That's good.
Hopefully this is going to be all cut out.
I have some great weed.
There's an event tonight in Newark. Weed.
Let's wrap this shit up.
I don't know any of the specifics, but it was nice. I thought Brian would, but it's tonight. It's in Newark. It's an awesome poetry
event.
I don't know where it's at, but I know it's in the city.
Hold on. I'm going to get there. Hold on. Okay. I'll tell you where it is.
He's going to find out for us.
Of course. So, this is going to be my closing thing. I thought we had another topic. I wasn't there.
I was trying to tee you up for the closing.
RADI 360 Poetry Night. Ratty. I'm thinking it's pronounced Ratty. Please apologize. My apologies. I'm not getting RADI. This event is on the New Jersey Revolution Radio Facebook page as well. I go there every month, and basically I do some quick live streams. I don't live stream the whole event, but I do, you know, go out there. I do a couple of live streams. I encourage people to go down every once in a while. An act will ask me to stream their whole act, so I'll hook them up. But it's been a great partnership, and I've really learned a lot about, like, putting on events, and it's translating into great things for New Jersey Revolution Radio. So, you know, if you're out there, if you're out tonight, or we've got what? I'm going to head out here by half hour. I'm going to get there by 5:30. It starts about 6 o'clock. So I'm really hoping that people in the area will come out and check us out there in Newark. 360 Poetry Night with Justice, LaRouge Lounge. See you then, man. What else we got? That's it. I really can't believe we're done. Yeah. Thank you out there, New Jersey Revolution Radio Live. This is What the Fuck with Pat and Brian. We had a great time with you. Pat's with Socialist Party. So check them out. If they've got activity going on, check them out on Facebook. We all do a lot of Facebook and Twitter, and so social media feeds. We are getting into the new year. We're definitely going to be involved with cannabis legalization. We're going to be keeping an eye on the corruption in New Jersey. We're going to be fighting racism, and we're going to be talking shit about the Democratic Party. We need your help. We need you to donate. www.njrevolutionradio.com/donate. Check us out. Donate to Independent Media tab on the website. You know, $5, $10, $100, whatever you got. I mean, you had a good Christmas. Chip a little bit in. We really do appreciate it. And if we raise $500, we're only at like $125. I got three eggs. It'd be like $300-something. I don't know. It's too much math. But we need to get there, and you'll have a New Year's Eve show with me and Diane Moxley. So
do not donate to the Human Fund. Donate to
New Jersey. Donate to Independent Media. I really love doing these shows for everybody out there. 2020 is going to be awesome. I can't wait to start it out. I'll see you soon. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.